Hello, and welcome to the Old Time Radio Hour with your host, Justine Ward. Mystery and horror series all seem to use sound effects to get the audience ready for the weird and fantastic. The creaking door is the opening sound effect for Inner Sanctum Mysteries, along with dramatic punctuation by the spooky organ music. Your host and Mary greet you with commercials for Lipton Tea and ghoulish puns to lighten the mood. But the story is a creepy tale of murder and mayhem. It takes place in a department store, and you may never look at a mannequin in the window the same way again. This is Inner Sanctum Mysteries, Lonely Sleep, first broadcast September 25th, 1949 on CBS.
Lipton Tea and Lipton Soup present Inner Sanctum Mysteries. Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum. This is your host at the squeaking door again. Just slither in and let me dispel your weariness with a bit of eeriness, Oh, no. No, please. Don't sit in that chair. I'm saving it for rigor mortis to set in.
Oh, dear. I see this is going to be one of those nights when my favorite character gets killed.
Yes, Mary, but don't scream blue murder because this is a corpse of a different color.
Well, if it's going to be that kind of a story, I'd better tell folks about something cheerful first. Yes, I mean Lipton tea. Lipton's is such a friendly, welcome drink. And that's because of its brisk flavor. Now, that word brisk is important. It means that Lipton tea always tastes fresh and full-bodied, tangy and vigorous. It's never flat or wishy-washy. That's the reason why Lipton seems to make good food taste better, and why Lipton tea is the perfect beverage to serve on your entertaining friends. So even if you're not a regular tea drinker, you should try Lipton's. That brisk flavor makes all the difference in the world.
And now let's leave the world. Temporarily, of course. Tonight's story is called The Lonely Sleep. It's an original radio play by Christopher Mayo, who scribbled it during a nightmare. And our star is Carl Swenson, who plays the role of Archie Gold. Murder is a specter which nudges all of us, anywhere. Most of us will never murder. But can any of us say we never will? Certainly Archie Gold, 30-ish, bald and mild-mannered, never thought he would murder. Archie was the window display man for Greg's department store. At night, the store is a fantastic nightmare of eerie shadows, covered showcases, cavernous depths, and dank, stale odors, with only his own hollow footsteps for sound. Because windows are dressed at night. It's night now. Archie's busy in his storeroom crating his favorite mannequin for shipment to the mannequin factory. Being a lonely man, he talks to the mannequin. And being in love with Esther Newman of the store's accounting office, he naturally calls his favorite mannequin Esther.
You've been very mean to me, Esther. The last time I asked you to go out with me, you snickered at me. That's not nice. That's why I had to do this to you.
Archie tucked Esther's smooth pink torso into a crate.
There. Perfect fit, darling. Perfect.
Then Archie wrapped Esther's slim legs and arms in excelsior. Tucked them into another crate.
So, you wouldn't put your arms around me, darling. Well, you won't get another chance.
Then Archie picked up Esther's pretty head and placed it on his workbench.
Oh, Esther. I'm so lonely. Why don't people talk to me? Why can't I be popular? But what's wrong with me? Why don't you go out with me?
What Archie never dreamed was that the real Esther Newman was at that moment slamming the last of her monthly report books closed, flicking off the light, and starting out of the finance office toward the rear door of the store.
No, Esther, I only came here.
She's stopped by Archie's half-open door when she hears his voice.
No, listen to me, Esther, darling. I am making enough money here to buy us a little place over in Jersey. See, all my life, I wanted to love someone like you. You're so beautiful. You will marry me, won't you, darling?
Why, Archie, yeah. Go! Sitting there proposing to a dummy. And the dummy's name is Esther. What a coincidence.
Well, Esther, you worked late? I didn't know. No. I mean, yes. Yes, I give the mannequins names. It's sort of a game. Yeah, a game. That's it.
Well, they don't talk back anyhow.
No, they don't talk back. But they're sort of kind. They smile at me. See, I'm lonely. Mm-hmm. I work all night. Esther, will you go out with me Sunday night?
Mm-hmm.
Please. Just dinner and the movies.
Are you kidding? Why don't you ask your dummy friend? Hey, say, what a swell idea. She won't eat much. You can maybe get her into the movies for half price. And when you kiss her goodnight, Archie, she won't slap your face. Why are you looking at me that way?
You shouldn't laugh.
You're crazy. You're trying to scare me. Yes, that's it. No, you're not. You are crazy. Don't come near her. Archie!
You shouldn't laugh.
Archie, don't.
You shouldn't laugh. My turn to laugh. See? My turn. You shouldn't laugh. People shouldn't laugh when you're lonely.
You see, the specter of murder had nudged Archie, and he's obeyed. This was no mannequin at his feet. This was a woman, warm, beautiful, and dead. Then, being scared and lonelier than ever, Archie talked to his mannequins again. This time to Frank, painted and rouged and handsome in Greg's bargain 2950 tweed suit.
You heard her laughing at me, Frank. I just couldn't stand her laughing at me again. Hey, look at her, Frank. You'd think she was asleep. Her neck's broken. See, what am I going to do with her? Yeah, I got to think. Got to hide her. Got to dress the front window, too. The window. Sale of cozy kitten mattresses starts tomorrow. It's a big sale. Sleep on a cozy kitten. I've got it, Frank. The window. I've put her in the window. On a cozy kitten mattress. Nobody will know. And then tomorrow night,
So Archie used some pancake makeup, bringing life to Esther's sallowing cheeks and purple lips. He placed her dead weight on a hard truck, and he rolled her to the lighted window. An hour later, Esther's corpse, covered with gleaming white sheets and sleazy satin quilts, smiled in peaceful bliss at the empty street. Archie found his work well done.
Nothing more to do now. Just wait. I'll go home. And wait. That's a good window. You look very pretty in bed, Esther.
I've been watching you, young fella. Yeah. Saw you do the whole thing. What's the matter? I scare you?
No, officer. I didn't know.
Yeah, been in the doorway across the street watching you. A lot of work to making up one of them windows, ain't there?
Yeah. You saw me do the whole window, you mean?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh.
So I put the mattresses in, make the bed, put the signs in, and then fix the lights. Then you put the girl in the bed and fix her face up. Hey, it's a nice job.
Yeah.
Say, you look bad, son.
Yeah.
Anything wrong? You sick?
Huh? No. I'm just tired.
All through for the night?
Yeah, I'm all through. Good night, officer.
Good night, young fella, and don't worry about your girlfriend. I'll keep an eye on her every night.
So Archie went home, as you or I might have done. And because he'd been too busy setting his little post-mortem stage, the impact of his crime began to seep through only as he neared his rooming house. Maybe the girl in the doorway he passed started him thinking because she laughed.
Are you kidding?
Just a girl and a date. But you can't blame Archie for hurrying. You would have thought it was Esther, too. Archie hurried. He hurried to the rooming house. He raced up the steps. He had to get to his room, get in and close the door of the world. Close the door. That's it.
You can't laugh at me here. They won't find me here. This is my room. Nerves. Stupid running like that. I've got to act normal. Sure, just like nothing happened. I couldn't help it. She made me do it. Don't forget about it.
Why, Archie, gold.
No. 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 You can't laugh now. You're...
I'm dead, Archie. Yes, in a way. I'm in Greg's department store.
I don't believe in ghosts. It's just my mind, my imagination.
That's right, Archie. You're too clever to believe in ghosts. I'm not a ghost, Archie. I'm in your mind. I'm part of you now. Part of you.
Get out! Get out! I'll drive you out!
Oh, no, Archie. You can't. Unless, Archie, unless you replace me with someone else.
Yes. Yes. That might do it. Someone else. Another girl.
See? That's how a murderer thinks. Oh, yes, yes. You do the same thing. Archie never thought he would murder. Now he's ready to do it again. To get rid of his conscience, to get rid of a voice. Archie lit a cigarette. He poured himself some milk, ignoring the laughter in his brain as he pushed them.
Look at your hands, Archie. Look at them. Oh, crooked and hard and clutchy.
Oh.
Like they were on my throat.
No, shut up!
Archie threw himself on the bed and jammed the pillow against his ears and fell into a dream worse than reality.
Hello? Archie Gold?
Yeah, this is Archie Gold.
This is Mr. Greg, Archie. I know this is your time to sleep, but it's important that you get down here right away.
Is anything wrong, Mr. Gray?
I can't tell you over the phone. Come down here. Goodbye.
All right, Mr. Craig.
After he'd shaved and dressed, Archie felt a little better. After all, if they'd discovered anything, Mr. Gray wouldn't have called. He'd have sent the police. Feeling of confidence stayed with him until he stood across the street from Gray's. He lost it then. It dropped with a sickening pain about his heart and a dry pinching about his lips. People were standing three deep in front of his window display, and he caught sight of a policeman's cab following Mr. Gregg's bald head into the store. Well, were you thinking of going window shopping tomorrow? Want to be popular? Have lots of people crowding about you on the... sidewalk side of a plate glass window. Want to be a mannequin? Look up Archie Gold. He's the mannequin doer.
Well, all I can say is I'm glad that murderer is about to be caught.
Why, Mary, don't talk that way. It was really kind of Archie to put her on the mattress. She was so sleepy. In fact, she was dead to the world. Yes, the one to feel sorry for is Archie. Why, the poor fellow's shivering. Why don't you make him a cup of Lipton tea?
Lipton's is too good for him. And besides, he's probably too scared to taste the difference between Lipton's and ordinary teas. Yes, folks, Lipton tea is different. In the language of tea experts, Lipton's has a brisk flavor. And when they use that word brisk, B-R-I-S-K, they mean that Lipton tea tastes tangy and spirited, really full-bodied. It's never flat or weak. So get acquainted with that brisk flavor. Or you just don't know how good tea can be till you know how good Lipton's is.
Well, let's see how good Archie's alibi is. Remember Archie, the lonely little man who dresses Greg's department store windows at night? Just couldn't stand being spurned by Esther Newman any longer. She laughed at him when he asked for a date, and now Esther is a lifeless mannequin advertising the restful qualities of cozy kitten mattresses in the window display. And Archie enters the store to see what's in store for him.
Greg, I'm...
Archie Gold, come in. Close the door. Sit down. My boy, you know Miss Newman and our bookkeeping department?
Yes, sir. I knew her, but I'd like a chance.
Now, you're going to get a chance, my boy. Before leaving on a week's vacation, Miss Newman completed our annual report.
Miss Newman is on vacation?
Yes. Which isn't important. A report shows we sold 16 cozy kitten mattresses in 1 year.
Well, that's not many, is it, sir?
It's terrible. We were stuck with 1,500 of them. Just a minute now. Jenkins.
Yes, Mr. Gregg?
How many mattresses have you sold now?
802, sir.
You hear that, Gold?
Yes, sir.
802 mattresses in a couple of hours. And your window display did that. My boy, you're a genius.
Mr. Gregg,
Now, I know just what you're going to say. Any man who has the imagination to put a woman dummy asleep in a window, and such a dummy, so peaceful. How much are we paying you, Archie?
$36.47 a week, sir.
Starting today, it's $72.94. And a private office, and you're the head window display manager of my 3 stores. Stunned you, huh?
Everything I've always wanted.
What's more, I've had pictures taken of that window with the crowds, and the paper promised to run it in tonight's edition. With your name. Good?
Yes, sir. I want you to know, sir, I appreciate it.
Oh, nonsense. Greg knows a bargain. Now go home to bed again, or take tonight off.
Oh, no. I have work to do.
Ah, got more good ideas? Good.
Mr. Greg.
Yes, my boy.
If the mattresses are selling so well, we won't need the display. I can take it out tomorrow.
Oh, nonsense. Don't touch it. We'll run this sale for 2 weeks. I just ordered 1,500 more mattresses.
Success and popularity was sweet to Archie's taste. But Archie knew a corpse, no matter how beautiful, cannot survive the sun beating through glass for long. And Archie knew that. It was a wretched rainy night. Greg's department store had long since closed its doors. The night belonged again to Archie. Now he had a nasty job to do. He drew the curtains across the big window. Here's the officer was watching again. Esther was just a mannequin now, a mannequin of flesh and bones, but a mannequin. And Archie spoke to his mannequin.
You've had a hard day, Esther, darling, haven't you? Well, it's all over now. You never did anything for me alive. Dead, you brought me success. Now I've got to send you away. You're stiff and cold, Esther. And you can't laugh now, can you?
Esther couldn't laugh. And Archie opened the crates which contained the mannequin he had originally planned to ship. With a few simple tools and lots of work, he made Esther, the real Esther, conform to his original shipment. A torso, a pair of slim legs and arms, and a head.
That's the alley door. Somebody's there. See, a cop, maybe. I've got to act natural. After all, she's well hidden.
Could I come in? Please, I'm so wet and tired.
It's a girl. Yes. Come in. Get out of that rain.
Thanks.
Why, you poor kid, you're soaked. Come into the workshop. I've got a heater in there.
Gosh, thanks.
She was sent to me. Someone to take Esther's place.
Feel
better now?
Yeah, lots better. You're very kind.
How did you happen to pick this store to knock at?
Well, the alley seemed a good place to get out of the wind. It started to rain, and I saw your light.
Oh, I see. And you're broke.
Yeah. The usual story. I came to town from Philly to get a job. Job was there, all right, but the boss wasn't on the level.
Well, don't you have a home? Parents or a husband, I mean?
Oh, that's
a shame. Look, stay right there now. I'll be right back.
You're not leaving me, are you?
No. I'm going to get a blanket to put across your shoulders. I'll be right back.
Of course he'd be right back. Wasn't this just what he needed? Another mannequin to satisfy Esther's voice? It made sense. The second time, it's easier. It always is.
Don't move, May. Huh? I'll put it across your shoulders.
All right. You're a very lonely man, aren't you, Mr. Gold?
Yeah. How do you know that?
Because I like you.
How does that prove I'm lonely?
I like lonely people.
Why?
Because I'm terribly lonely myself.
I got some coffee in the thermos here. I'll get you some.
I like it here. I like to look at the mannequins, especially that handsome one there. What do you call him?
What do you mean, call him?
Well, you must talk to them. I would.
You're wonderful. You understand. Yeah, I do. I do talk to him. His name's Frank. Frank, meet May. May, this is Frank.
Hello, Frank. I'm sleepy, Frank.
Oh, May. Why did you come tonight? Why couldn't you have come two nights ago? You're sleepy?
Mm-hmm. I'm warm and sleepy.
Look, I have 3 hours before my window has to be finished, and I have an errand that'll take me about an hour. You climb into the bed in the window and...
People will see me in the window.
No, the curtains are drawn. I'll wake you when I get back.
All right. Looks like the kind of bed I could sleep on forever. Ever.
Doesn't always work out the way you plan it, see? Archie didn't want to murder Esther, but he did. Archie wants to murder May, but he'd rather not. Well, Archie drew the satin quilts over May. She smiled, closed her eyes with murmured thanks, and was asleep. Archie knew now he loved her, but he must never listen to her speak again. While Archie carried the crates containing Esther's remains into the station wagon of the alley, a little man with a sad, droopy face and a derby hat argued with the night captain of the local police station.
I tell you, I know what I'm talking about. I stopped at Greg's window 4 times today. I know a corpse when I see one.
Well, I saw that window, too. That's a dummy in that bed. I know a dummy when I see one.
I don't doubt that, Captain. You've had more experience with dummies than I have, but I've had more experience with corpses than you have. That's a dead girl in the bed.
Now, what makes you so sure?
I've been an undertaker for 40 years. My name is Huzak. My establishment is down the block from Gregg's store on 10th Street.
Okay, we'll check. Now, operator, get me Mr. Gregg. Yeah, Gregg's department store. Of course it is home. What else at this hour?
Archie had a plan. Excitement gripped him. But that habit of years was strong, and he talked to Esther as he piled her 3 coffins into the station wagon in the alley.
Don't you worry, Esther. In a half hour, you'll be at the bottom of the river. You shouldn't have laughed, Esther. Then, I'll come back to May.
Sure. Archie had a plan, all right. But it didn't include the little old undertaker who knew a corpse when he saw one, or an angry, sleepy Mr. Gregg, or a confused police captain. We're right then coming to a stop in front of the store.
This is an outrage, a preposterous, fantastic farce. Getting me down here in the middle of the night just to prove I have a corpse in my window.
I know, Mr. Gregg. I feel silly about it myself, but Mr. Huzak here seems so sure.
The curtains are drawn in front of the window. We'll have to go inside.
Oh. In a minute, you're all going to look very silly. There. Does that look like a corpse?
No. You're right. It's not a corpse. It isn't a dummy either.
She's alive. Breathing.
There's something queer here. I'm going to look around outside.
Archie! Archie, go! Archie! Archie!
Archie didn't hear himself being paged. But at the entrance of the alley, he saw the police car in front and he heard the police captain shouting from the sidewalk. That was when Archie decided it was better to be lonely. The lonelier, the better.
They found out. That's the police. They found out.
Hey, you!
Right now. Got to. They won't catch me. They won't. Got the light. I gotta go through. Faster. Faster. Why can't it go faster? The truck. Turn right. Turn.
No one ever heard Archie's last words. They bubbled through his torn throat as he lay in a glass-smashed window through which he'd crashed. No one.
I'm so lonely. No. So lonely.
Well, Greg, here's your Archie Gold. Bet those crates will be interesting.
Awful.
Yeah, quite a mess.
No one was cruel enough to point out a gruesome bit of grisly humor. The lonely little man who'd spent so much time in display windows had created his final masterpiece. Archie had decorated his last window in Husak's funeral parlor. The lesson we learned from tonight's story is that murder doesn't pay. It's a losing business. Murderers are always in the red. And it's strenuous work, too. You're bound to find yourself a little stiff.
Mr. Host, I did not like that story.
Well, neither did I, Mary. Imagine the cozy kitten mattress company pulling a smart advertising stunt like that on Lipton's time and for free.
Now, that's not what I mean at all. And if you're worried about Lipton's, let me assure you that Lipton's is the largest selling brand of tea in the whole world. That's the kind of popularity that really counts. And folks, if you'll just once try Lipton tea, I think you'll be convinced, too.
Well, I have to run along now, folks. Got some shopping to do in Greg's department store. What? Oh, I know it's late, but, you see, Archie and I shop at night to avoid the shrouds, you know. By the way, this month's Inner Sanctum mystery novel is Puzzle for Wantons by Patrick Quentin. Oh, and here's a special announcement. Next week's Inner Sanctum story, directed by Hyman Brown and brought to you by Lipton Tea and Lipton Soup. Next week's story is about a man whose dreams always come true. All he has to do is to dream that somebody's being murdered and... Enough to keep you awake, isn't it? Well, until we meet again next Tuesday, you dream of me and I dream of you. Now it's time to close the squeaking door, so... Good night. Pleasant dreams.
You are listening to the Old Time Radio Hour. I'm your host, Justine Ward, and each week we bring you an hour of the best classic radio over the World Wide Web. Subscribe for free at iTunes or Podbean. The Saint opens with footsteps and an eerie whistle. Vincent Price starred as the Saint, and he added so much depth to the stories of the urbane detective Simon Templar, known as the Saint, with his distinctive voice and wonderful acting. The worldly wise detective with a sense of humor is tested in this episode when a girl comes to him after reading her own obituary in the newspaper. I know you will enjoy following it through to the surprise ending. The Saint, the Corpse Said Ouch, first broadcast August 6, 1950 on NBC.
Adventures of the Saint, starring Vincent Price. The Saints, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris and known to millions from books, magazines, and motion pictures. The Robin Hood of modern crime now comes transcribed to radio, starring Hollywood's brilliant and talented actor Vincent Price as The Saint.
I'm not home. It's the middle of the night and I'm asleep. I'm in Schenectady, sitting up with a sick aunt. Oh.
Hello.
Hello.
Are you Simon Templer?
Well, come in and we'll compare Social Security cards.
Thank you. I thought you were in Schenectady.
Never heard of the place.
Sitting up with a sick aunt.
She recovered suddenly.
Simon, I need help. Desperately.
Why?
Because I'm dead.
You're what?
Dead.
Oh, well, of course, some of my best friends...
Simon, my name is Francis Blake. Here, read this.
Read?
That little item down in the corner, under obituaries.
Obituaries? Says here that the body of Francis Blake is at the Restwell Chapel. Burial at noon tomorrow.
You see, the newspapers say that I'm dead.
Yeah, but I don't know whether to believe them or not. You are Francis Blake?
Oh, of course I am.
Come here a moment.
All right.
Thank you. Now...
Simon, what are you... Oh, no!
I beg your pardon.
You pinched me.
Yes?
But...
Well, I had to make sure I wasn't dreaming.
But you're supposed to pinch yourself if you think you're dreaming.
I know, but this way was more fun. Also, I never heard a corpse say ouch before. Therefore, you're not dead.
I already knew that.
I didn't. Now that that's settled, I think perhaps we ought to go visit.
Visit whom?
Your corpse.
Taxi! Hey, your nice rain up bright.
Never mind, Louis.
Oh, Mr. Templer, had I have known it was you, I wouldn't have bothered with the whimsy.
Had I known it was you, I just wouldn't have bothered. However, Francis...
Thank you.
Louis should perhaps be explained. He's a cab driver I try to avoid. I rarely succeed. Which proves to me that my life isn't all that it should be.
Keep it clean. And where at this hour of the night are you going?
The Restwell Chapel.
Get another cab.
Louis.
Okay, okay. Some sport. Takes a girl to see a funeral parlor in the middle of the night.
I'm merely taking her home.
She lives in a funeral parlor?
She's dead in a funeral parlor.
Who's dead?
Miss Blake.
Huh?
Me.
Excuse me, but
Louis,
I gotta...
don't take
I
your hands off
gonna...
the wheel. I already did.
Yes, so?
She said ouch.
Personally, I would have liked to find out for myself, but if you say so...
I do.
I'll take your word for it. Only how are you going to explain to the funeral parlor her riding around in cabs with you?
Simple. I am apparently the kind of a man a girl wouldn't mind being seen dead with.
Well, Chapel at your service.
Louis.
I know. Wait. But I'm telling you one thing, considering the type of company you're keeping, I ain't waiting till nobody plays no hot licks on a trumpet.
Scene. I don't think you'll have to. Come along, Francis.
All right. I've been trying to pretend to myself that it's all some kind of a joke, but that funeral parlor looks too real.
Well, we'll find out soon enough. One nice thing about funeral parlors, they're always open.
That you call nice?
She have a point there. Ooh, listen to that doorbell. Chopin, at least.
Ah.
I beg your pardon?
I said, ah.
Ah. Come in, Francis.
This is an hour that comes to all.
Except in states that don't have daylight saving.
I, sir, was referring to your bereavement. Whom are you mourning?
We would like to look at Francis Blake.
The hour is late, but grief knows no clock.
Good heavens, an epigram.
We try, sir. If you'll follow me.
Thank you.
Ah, here we are. And there she is. Beautiful, isn't she?
Very.
Simon, she does look like me.
A little bit, but hardly enough to explain. How did she get here?
Miss Blake? Mm. The police brought her.
Oh, I see. Who identified her?
Well, that was hardly necessary. Her coat over there in the corner.
Simon!
Wait a minute, Francis. What about her coat?
It had her name on the label. Now I shall withdraw. You'll want to be alone with your grief.
All right, but make a sound withdrawing, please. So we'll know you're withdrawn?
Oh, really, sir, it's no use jesting. The dead never laugh.
Well, he's withdrawn.
Simon, that's my coat. It is mine, Simon, but look.
Yes, two holes in the front of it, bullet holes.
Bullet holes?
The girl here, whoever she is, was murdered. Come on, we'd better get out.
All right, but I'm taking my coat.
I don't think...
It's mine, not hers. It belongs to me, even though she was murdered in it. Simon, what was that girl doing with my coat?
Wearing it when she was shot, presumably.
But...
There's another question, perhaps a more important one. Why was she shot in the first place?
I suppose she had enemies.
Have you?
Back again?
Yeah, we're back again. Francis.
Oh, thank you.
The little lady lost her place?
Francis, where do you live?
The Thornton Towers.
Louis.
I heard.
Simon, back there. Why did you ask if I had any enemies?
The coat's a distinctive one.
Well, it's a very colorful plaid.
Yes, the girl back at the funeral parlor was murdered while wearing it. The question comes to, was her wearing the coat when she was killed merely a coincidence, or was she killed because her murderer thought she was, you?
The Thornton Towers.
Yeah, here you are, Louis, and,
I know. Don't wait, on account of your sitting up with a dead friend.
Good night, Louis.
Good night.
Good night, folks.
Oh, Simon, it's so good to be back home. My apartment's down the corridor. Simon, I feel terrible.
Oh, you needn't.
But what you said in the cab, she was wearing my coat, a very distinctive one, and then she was shot to death. That girl is dead because of me.
No, we don't really know that.
Well, it must be so. Somebody thought she was me and killed her.
That's possible.
But then, that means that somebody wants to kill me.
This your door?
Oh, yes.
Of course, it's also possible that someone didn't like the coat and... Hey, did you leave your lights on when you left?
No.
There's a light in the room ahead.
Well, that's the living room.
You stay here in the hall. I'll go ahead and see who it is.
But
I just want to make sure they're neutral on the subject of plaid coats or you. Shh.
Oh. Oh. Hello.
Hello.
Ah, how she was beautiful, your wife.
My what?
Your wife. It's her picture on the desk there, no?
Well, that does seem to be a picture of Francis.
And your name, she is...
My name's Simon.
Ah, it is a name that fills herself with the soul, no?
No.
I knew that tonight, of all nights, you would be lonely.
Believe me, I'm not lonely.
I am here. Oh, your wife, she must have been a wonderful woman. Your life with her was the magnificent symphony, no?
Chamber music would probably be more accurate if you...
And were. Now that she is alas gone, I am here.
Without even a pause for station identification. Look, who are you?
I am Olga.
Simon,
Who is she?
Olga.
Who is she?
Francis. And now that you two have met...
Waiting a moment, huh? Aha. I look on the picture. I look on the flash.
The what?
The flash. Of which I might adding, your wife is perhaps carrying a little too much here and there. Especially there.
Now, just a minute.
Mustn't point, Olga. Bad manners.
But I am seeing your wife. She is not dead.
She isn't. That is, Francis isn't. If you like, you could try pinching her.
I never pinch. Except boys. Oh. Simon, you are disappointing me. Goodbye.
Well, that was quite a performance.
Personally, I didn't care for her cadenza.
Oh, I don't know. It was a nice cadenza, and the tutti was definitely fruity. Hmm. That is, Francis, the whole thing was camouflaged.
For what?
Take a look at the room.
The room? Oh!
Yes, it looks as if a junior hurricane had visited it.
You mean somebody of Olga searched the room?
Uh-huh. This one and, yeah, the bedroom as well.
But, Simon, what was she looking for?
I don't know. Whatever it was, she didn't find it. Our entrance stopped her search.
Well, I'd better start straightening things up a bit.
It's a good idea. I'll help you.
Well, shouldn't you be going home?
Oh, I don't think so. You may get some more visitors later on and rougher ones than Olga.
Why?
Well, maybe they'll tell us if we ask them prettily. In the meanwhile...
Yes, Simon?
We can practice the overture to that symphony Olga mentioned.
Simon?
Yes?
It's getting awfully late.
Yes, I know.
We really can't sit up all night waiting for someone to come. We don't even know for sure that someone will.
Olga got into this apartment, and someone else did before her.
Someone else?
Of course. Your coat was stolen, wasn't it?
Well, I suppose, but not from the apartment, Simon.
Not from... Where was it stolen from?
Well, I can't be sure, of course, but I gave that coat to the cleaning shop down the block about a week ago.
Cleaning shop?
Mm-hmm.
What's the name of it?
The Carter Cleaners. Why?
Because evidently it started out from there to wind up on a murdered girl's body. Therefore, come on.
We're gonna...
Yes, believe it or not, I'm taking you to the cleaners. I thought I told you not to wait.
This is a free country?
Yes,
there's
but...
a parking limit on this here curb, maybe?
No, but...
I waited.
But we're only going down the block a little bit.
You can't afford a quarter?
I like to walk.
What do you get from walk?
Exercise.
Uh-huh, and from exercise, an enlarged heart. From an enlarged heart, you know how many people each year drop dead?
Add them up. We're walking. Come on, Francis.
Simon, you're worried.
Moderately, about all those people with enlarged hearts. This is the place, huh?
Yes.
Front door is shut, but there's a light inside. Let's try. It's locked, however.
I think someone's coming.
Recognize him?
Yes. Yes, that's Mr. Maxson, the manager.
Oh, what do you want?
Do you mind if we come in?
Look, it may have escaped your attention, but it happens to be after 2 o'clock in the morning. Why do you want to come in?
The rain.
It's not raining.
But suppose it starts.
I happen to be a very tired man.
You should go home earlier.
I shouldn't be bothered by drunks.
I'm not drunk. We've stopped by for Miss Blake's coat.
Coat?
The plaid.
As I may have mentioned before, we are not open for business.
And then what are you doing here?
I'm crazy about carbon tetrachloride fumes.
I'd still like the coat.
Oh? Then please do stop by in the morning.
Simon, why did you...
I wanted to find out if the cleaning store knew the plaid coat was gone.
But we didn't find out, did we?
No, nevertheless, we've worried Mr. Maxson. Thank heaven Louis's handy. Hey, hey, Louis! Louis!
You give up, huh?
Yeah. Into the cab, Francis.
All right.
Well, name your destination, Mr. Templer.
A very long trip.
Yeah?
Drive to the back of the cleaning store. You'll probably have to go around the block. That alley must lead there.
Okay.
But, Simon, why are we going to the back of the store? Because we're going in?
No, because I suspect Mr. Maxson is going out.
All this here is maybe none of my business.
It isn't.
Oh, you know, a remark like that could easily hurt a fellow's feelings.
I'm sorry.
No, it didn't hurt mine.
I'm sorrier still.
But you're not spending this PM in the way a PM should be spent.
Nonsense. So far, it's all been good, clean fun.
That's what I mean.
Simon, Mr. Maxson hasn't come out of the store yet.
No, he may be coy, however.
But why should he have anything to do with anything?
He shouldn't, but it's very possible that...
Simon!
Yeah. Yeah, Mr. Maxson is shutting up shop. Coming down the back alley, which confirms something or other.
You mean if he weren't hiding something, he wouldn't use the back way?
Perhaps. We're far enough away from the alley for him not to notice. Look, he's turning the corner. Louis.
I am alert. Not for nothing was I a Boy Scout. Although, actually, what I was a Boy Scout for was a certain Girl Scout.
Hold it a minute. He's getting into that...
He's a villain. That's a convertible. Everybody knows only villains ride around in convertibles.
He started. Louis.
Here we go.
Hey, look. Maxson's stopping.
Yeah. I better stop right here, huh?
Uh-huh.
Simon, he's going into that nightclub.
Interesting place for a store manager to finish his evening's work. Let's go, Francis.
Leave me know how the floor show is.
I'll be sure to.
Barker's Bandbox. I've heard of the club.
Yeah, and I've heard of Barker. Nothing complimentary either. Well, here it is, and in we go. Dark, crowded, and needs ventilation. The floor show? Emphasis on show.
Simon, Mr. Maxson's over there.
Yeah, ducking out of the door near the piano. Let's follow in his shifty footsteps, huh?
Gee, I hope nobody notices it.
With what's going on, or rather coming off, I don't think so.
Oh, it's so dark in this hallway.
Yeah, listen.
I can't hear what they're saying.
We can get a little closer.
Now, wait a minute, Barker.
I've been waiting long enough. Where are the stones?
I told you, the girl disappeared.
I know what you told me. Don't give me the stones. Now, suppose you tell me where the stones are.
I don't know where they are.
Stones.
Yeah, Barker's got quite a reputation as a crook of various kinds. Stones are jewelry, and unquestionably stolen jewelry.
Having fun, fellas?
Oh!
Hope I didn't frighten you, lady. Coming up behind you, two nosy people like this.
That was her asthma.
Yeah. This here's a rod.
How cute. Could I see it?
Let go.
Simon, I've got his gun.
Yeah, and I've got a fist. Let's see what happens. How gratifying. I hit him and he fell down.
Jake!
Come on. All that could happen to us in here...
Jake!
...would be fatal.
They fired at us.
I know. It's always a little nervous-making. Well, here we are.
Thanks, Simon.
No, not yet. I'm going in with you.
But...
No, for safety.
Oh. You think maybe...
I'm just not taking any chances. Well, foyer's all right. Living room. Francis.
What?
Don't look across the room. Olga's back, but this time she's staying.
What do you mean?
I hoped you wouldn't see her. She isn't beautiful anymore.
Oh, no. Just dead.
I better phone the police.
Wait, Simon. You know this thing started with Francis Blake being dead.
But it wasn't Francis Blake. It was another girl.
And then someone else got killed. Olga.
Still not Francis Blake.
But, Simon, the next time, do you think maybe it will be?
Good night, Lieutenant. Thanks for dropping on. And exit Alga, exit police. Francis.
Yes, Simon.
You better go to bed. I'll stay on. It's almost morning anyway.
Oh, well, I couldn't sleep. Would you like me to fix you some breakfast?
Oh, say, that's not a bad idea if you feel up to it.
Oh, I don't know how I feel. You stay right where you are. Won't take me more than a few minutes.
All right.
Okay, that's all the sound you're going to make, sister. The gun's loaded. If you've got ideas about yelling for help, remember this. Bullets get to you quicker than help. Now let's get out of here, by the service door, like I come in.
But, Simon...
And the boyfriend, you write him a letter from where you're going. If you're lucky, sister. And I hope you're lucky. You're too pretty to enjoy dying so quick.
Francis, what are you cooking? Steak? Francis, I don't intend to oversee your cooking, but... Francis. Francis.
Oh, here she is, Mr. Barker.
Yeah, nice work, Jack.
Hi. I want to know what this is all about.
Yeah, I bet you do. You and me both, baby. What'd you do with the stones?
The stones?
Yeah. The chorus girl's delight, the old man's charm, the stones.
Oh, you mean jewels. I don't have any.
Maybe not on you, but you're going to tell us where they are, won't you, baby?
Suppose I don't know.
I wouldn't care to believe that.
Well, you'd better start, because I don't know.
All right. I'll start not believing you. Jake.
Yeah?
I don't believe her. I don't think she's behaving right.
You don't, huh?
I don't.
Ah, okay, Mr. Barker.
What are you going to do?
I'll slap you around a bit. It's going to hurt you more than it hurts me, too.
Oh, no, you can't.
Want to bet?
Hold it a minute, Jake. I'll get it. Yeah?
Barker?
Who are you?
Simon Templer. You've got Francis Blake there, haven't you?
It's your phone call.
You must have. Listen, if you don't hurt her in any way, I'll get you the stones you're looking for. She doesn't know where they are.
Matter of fact, where are the stones?
The Carter Cleaner's shop.
Look, don't hand me that. We already been through the joint.
But you didn't know where to look.
Yeah? That could be a deal. Okay. But your girlfriend will be under a gun all the time. First funny move and she gets it.
No funny moves.
We'll be seeing you. Okay, Jake, we're going visiting. Maybe we'll trade in a babe for the stones. If the stones are handed over. If they ain't, we'll just trade her in.
Good morning, and... Oh, you were here last night.
That's right, Mr. Maxson. I was looking for a plaid coat.
Plaid?
Yes, maybe it would be here on this rack.
Oh, it wouldn't be there. You see... This rack is for dresses.
And this is for last night. Sorry to have upset you, Mr. Maxson, but company's coming and I've got to set the table for them.
Joint looks clean. No blue uniforms around. Park it, Jake.
Okay.
Go, baby.
I can walk by myself.
Yeah, I know, but I enjoy your company.
Simon!
Hello, Francis.
You Templar?
That's right.
Simon, I...
Hey, stay next to me, sister.
I better just lock the door so we won't be interrupted. All right, where are the stones?
Yeah, they're in the place here. They must be.
I don't like the sound of that. It could be a stall. What's that?
And Mr. Maxson, he fell down while he was pressing some suits or something.
Yeah? Get up, Maxson. Come on.
Hello, Mr. Barker.
Hello, rat.
Oh, you don't have to talk that way, Mr. Barker. I can't help it if the stones were stolen from me, if the woman double-crossed me.
This babe here?
Yeah.
Why don't you work her over, Mr. Barker, and her boyfriend? After all, they're the ones who killed Olga, aren't they? It was a narrow partner.
Never mind Olga. I like the kid. I sent her out of the job. She got it. Business, you got to cut your losses when you have to. I still want the stones. Hey, you.
They are here. They have to be.
Then find them.
I've looked, but they're hidden cleverly.
You sound like a guy up a tree, mister, and in just a couple of seconds, I'm going to cut that tree down.
Tree? Hey, wait a minute. Tree? Suppose you wanted to hide a tree so you couldn't find it. Where would you hide it?
I ain't interested in hiding trees.
You'd hide it in a forest, of course. Therefore, going through the place, I noticed... Francis, go through that dress rack.
Dress rack?
Find a dress, any dress, that doesn't seem to belong.
Well, all right.
Hey, I don't get it, boys. Who wants to hide a tree?
Get up, Jake. Maybe it's that simple.
Oh, Simon, I'm not sure what you mean, but this shop is in a pretty expensive neighborhood. All the dresses here are very good ones, except this one. It's quite cheap, covered with cheap rhinestones.
Let me have it. Yes, of course, it doesn't belong here. Why is it here? Because it's a forest.
Looks like a rag to me, not like a forest.
Then suppose you take another look at some of the rhinestones on
it.
Let
me have it.
Hey. Yeah, most of the things sewn on that dress are cheap rhinestones, but among them...
are the genuine stones, the ones we've been looking for. Well, nice work, Maxon.
I didn't know anything about it. Somebody else must have done it. The frame here...
No kidding.
Wait a minute, Parker. Wait.
For what? I'm going to tell you something, Maxon.
No, but I...
You sure told him.
Never did like a double crosser. Hey, where are you going?
Well, it occurred to me you mightn't like witnesses either. Oh.
Francis, stay behind me.
Hey, what are you...
Pressing machines build up quite a lot of beam pressure. I kicked the outlet pipe off, and it aims at you. You better scram, Barker, unless you want to get hard-boiled.
Fire!
It's getting too hot in here.
Come on.
You leaving us?
Oh, they've gone.
Yes, Francis, but not for long. And the police won't have much trouble picking them up with them all... forgive me, but I can't resist this. With them all steamed up.
Simon, I'm terribly grateful, but I can't resist...
Francis...
asking you what it was all about.
Oh, an intellectual, huh? Well, you see, Francis, Maxon and Barker were partners in the jewelry business. Illegitimate.
Oh.
They worked out a nice idea. They'd use very distinctive clothes left with the cleaning shop as disguises for themselves and their confederates.
Oh, and disguises which couldn't be traced because they'd lead back only to perfectly innocent people who had alibis and everything.
Mm-hmm. Right. And the last job they did involved a girl who wore your plaid coat while stealing the jewels.
Oh.
Maxon, however, decided he wanted all the jewels for himself, so he killed the girl and hid the stones.
And Olga?
He had to kill Olga because she suspected something wrong and came to this apartment because that's where the plaid coat came from.
Mm-hmm. Well, but how did you know that Maxon had killed her?
Back in the shop, he said Olga had been killed in this apartment. How did he know that?
Because he'd killed her. Oh, Simon, what would I have done without you?
The question is, what are you going to do with me?
You've been listening to another transcribed adventure of the Saint, the Robin Hood of modern crime. Now, here is our star, Vincent Price.
Ladies and gentlemen, our cast tonight included Shirley Mitchell, Viola Vaughn, Larry Dobkin, Lou Merrill, Tony Barrett, and Jack Moyles. This is Vincent Price inviting you to join us again next week at the same time for another exciting adventure of the Saint. Good night.
Saint was written by Louis Vittes. The music was composed and conducted by Vaughn Dexter. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris, is a James L. Sapir production and is directed by Helen Mack. Vincent Price is soon to be seen co-starring in RKO's production of His Kind of Woman. All you Saint fans will be glad to know that the Saint comic books are on sale at all newsstands. Your announcer is Don Stanley. Programs, get your programs here. Tomorrow night, tune here for Nightbeat. Hear the unusual tales uncovered by reporter Randy Stone as he searches Chicago after dark for human interest stories. Tomorrow night and every Monday night, hear Nightbeat. And then stay tuned for the First Piano Quartet. Next, Sam Spade cuts a caper. Then Rose Bampton sings on NBC.
Thank you so much for listening to the Old Time Radio Hour. We have listeners from all over the world, and we welcome you to tune in again next week when we will try to amaze you with more chilling tales of horror and mystery. Until then, this is your host, Justine Ward, saying, so long for a while.